More money, more money. Let me tell you a little story, Dennis. Something you ought to know and think about. When I was a kid your age, life wasn't as easy for me as it is for you. Well, I used to walk around the streets of Waukegan selling newspapers. I was hungry. Yes, and I was barefoot.
I bet it was snowing, too.
You said it. Why, Dennis, when I used to come home at night after tramping the streets all day selling those papers, my little feet were swollen and bleeding.
Where'd you get the blood?
I had it then. But I was happy, Dennis. Happy because I was struggling to achieve success, slow but sure. And that's why you should be happy, too.
Gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. Maybe I ought to take a cut.
A cut?
Look at his ears go up.
They didn't budge. Now, listen, Mary, I wasn't going to mention it because I wanted it to be a surprise to the whole gang. But when you each get your check tomorrow, you'll find a raise. A substantial increase.
I don't believe it, but say it again.
Well, don't act so surprised. I gave you all a raise last year, didn't I?
Sure, but right afterwards you sold a stock in your ostrich farm.
My ostrich farm? What's wrong with that? They lay eggs every day of the week.
And on Sunday, you take over.
Mary, May Company. Now, Dennis, if you can forget about Kenny Baker's yacht long enough, how about singing a song for us?
Okay.
Go ahead, Dennis. Wait a minute. Come in.
Pardon me, are you Jack Benny?
Yes.
My name is Gross. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Why, no, I'm never too busy for an interview.
Well, first of all, what are your plans on the radio this year?
Oh, I don't know. We're going to keep about the same formula and style as in the past. Yes, we hope to be topical and keep up with the time.
I see. And are you planning any out-of-town trips during the season?
Well, we'll stay here in Hollywood until the middle of December, and then we'll probably go to New York for a month.
A month, eh?
Yes.
That'll bring you back about the
middle of January.
I see. And are you going to close up your house in Beverly Hills while you're away?
Yes, I intend to. Yes.
Well, I think that about covers everything. Thanks very much, Mr. Benny.
You're welcome. Oh, by the way, what paper are you with?
None. I'm a burglar. Goodbye.
Hey, come back here. Well, of all the nerve. Sing, Dennis.
Oh, Jack.
What?
You better take your mattress to the bank tomorrow.
I will. Don't worry. Don. When the swallows come back to Capistrano.
Oh, Jack, please.
Don, are you rebelling?
No, but I just think...
Don, when the swallows come back to Capistrano.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you swallow a dessert, make sure that it is genuine jello.
That's better.
Whether you live in Capistrano or San Luis Obispo, always come back to your neighborhood grocer and ask him for a package of tempting economical jello. It comes in 6 delicious flavors. So remember.
All right, Dennis.
Oh, I don't wanna.
Dennis.
Okay. When the swallows come back to Capistrano,
you will find that jello's waiting there for you. Oh, Capistrano.
There, that wasn't such a bad plug, was it?
Did you write that, Jackson?
I certainly did.
Take a bow and I'll punch you right in the nose.
Why don't you? Anyway, that was smart writing, Mary. You know, Don, I'm going to do a lot of that stuff this coming season. Write clever commercials and fantasies, all kinds of sketches and things.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Oh, I don't mind. In fact, I get a kick out of it.
Hey, Jackson, what's the idea of all this writing all of a sudden?
Last Tuesday, he found a fountain pen.
That has nothing to do with my talent. Say, Don.
I suppose if he found a canoe, you'd want to be an Indian guide.
Silly, me an Indian guide. Say, Don.
A couple of feathers in your hair wouldn't hurt.
All right, forget it. I found a fountain pen on Sunset Boulevard. I put an ad in the paper. Nobody claimed it. So it's mine.
What paper did you put the ad in?
In the Louisville Courier Journal. It ran 3 days. Now, Don.
Gee, does Sunset Boulevard go that far?
Get a map and don't annoy me. Now, Don, if I can get a word in edgewise here, we're almost through with this first program, aren't we?
Just about, Jack. All we have left is Phil's number, and that'll about wind up the show.
Well, then, look, I'm going to run along. You see, Rochester's downstairs waiting for me in the car, and I've got to rush home. You see, I'm writing an article for the Saturday Evening Post, and I want to get it off tonight.
You must have found a bottle of ink, too.
Yes, and some stationery and stamps and everything. Is it okay, Don?
Sure, go right ahead, Jack. I'll take care of everything.
All right. Well, so long, Don. So long, fella. See you next Sunday.
Goodbye,
Jack.
So long,
Jack.
See you next week. Well, come on, Phil. Let's get going.
Okay, Don. Hit it, boys. Rochester, watch out. You don't honk at red lights, you stop for them.
But our bridge's in a delicate condition.
Well, then you can shut off the motor.
Boys, if I shut off this motor, even the Blue Fairy couldn't start it.
Just watch your driving, that's all.
Okay. I sure liked your program tonight, boss.
You did? Well, that's good. Which gag did you like the best?
The one about you giving everybody a raise. That was a good one.
It wasn't any joke, Rochester. I'm giving the whole cast more money this year.
You are?
Yes.
Well, boss, has my status quo been affected by this bolt from the blue?
What do you mean?
In other words, when I get my check tomorrow, am I going to be grinning or groaning?
Now, Rochester, let's get this straightened out right now. When I say I'm giving a raise, I mean I'm giving an increase to my associates on the radio.
Uh-huh.
You see, you're connected with me in a private capacity. That is, you're in a domestic category.
Uh-huh.
So in a nutshell, Rochester, I regard you as just a butler. Not an actor.
Just a butler?
Yes.
Boss, did you see our last picture?
Don't change the subject. Anyway, Rochester, I can't see where you have any cause for complaint. You're doing all right.
Bill Robinson's got a yacht.
I don't care what Bill Robinson's got. And if you're not careful, you're liable to be first mate on it. Never saw anybody in my life that complains about... Hey, wait a minute. Rochester. Rochester, stop the car.
What's the matter, boy?
Quick, stop the car. Pardon me, miss. Are you going toward Beverly Hills? I said, are you going toward Beverly Hills? Drive on, Rochester. Oh, well. Stop laughing. We're not home yet.
You'll never give up, will you, boy?
Never mind. And getting back to the salary you're so dissatisfied with, let me tell you a little story, Rochester. When I was a kid in Waukegan, I used to walk around the street selling newspapers. I was hungry. And yes, I was barefoot, too. But I was happy. I didn't mind struggling because I knew that someday...
Thank you.
The end of summer, ladies and gentlemen, always brings with it a new problem for the housewife. The problem of what to serve for salad now that summer fruits and summer vegetables are on the way out. Well, one answer is Jell-O's delicious grapefruit and grape salad. Both grapefruit and grapes are in season right now, and blended with rich strawberry Jell-O, they make one of the most colorful and exciting salads you ever tasted. Just prepare one package of strawberry Jell-O as you usually do, chill until slightly thickened, and fold in sections of one grapefruit, diced, and 1 cup of halved white grapes, seeded. Then mold, and you have a real distinctive treat, one that you can serve either as a salad or dessert. Incidentally, if you haven't enjoyed strawberry Jell-O recently, you'll find that it's now better than ever. Strawberry Jell-O, like raspberry Jell-O, has a new improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base, enhanced with a specially processed artificial flavoring, which gives it a rich, distinctive goodness. So get some strawberry Jell-O tomorrow and make up this grand combination of golden grapefruit, white, juicy grapes, and bright red strawberry Jell-O.
This is the last number of the first program in the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Say, Phil.
Yeah, Mary.
How about taking me over to the Wilshire Bowl tonight?
I'm taking the Blue Ferry.
Oh, that's right. There wouldn't be room for both of us. Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O, that's okay for B-E-N-N-Y, B-E-N-N-Y being Jack Benny. And that was from October 6th, 1940. Brings us to 16 past 9 this Sunday night. I'm Norman Gilliland here with Cindy Schuster, and boy, are you with us. And it's great to have you supporting old-time radio drama this Sunday night with a call to 1-800-383-9772 or on the web at WPR.org. We've got 44 minutes to go to make our goal for this second and final hour for old-time radio drama for this Sunday night, and we have a goal of $3,000 for this hour. With your good help, we'll get there and we'll send out a signal that says old-time radio is listened to and appreciated. And your signal is up to you as to how you want to make that commitment to Wisconsin Public Radio. How much you want to send, up to you, and whether you want to do it monthly or quarterly or all in one fell swoop, all up to you. But give us a call. Make the phones ring back there in Pledge Central at 1-800-383-9772. Or on the web at WPR.org. Like that. Boy, now that's
Whoa.
What I call a real radio
ring.
Thank you for that one.
1-800-383-9772. Perhaps we can make that that phone ring again. 1-800-383-9772. And you know, perhaps Jack Benny isn't the best example for pledge drive since he is quite the miser himself. But this is a great time for you to contribute and say thank you to Norman and to Wisconsin Public Radio for bringing you programs like the Jack Benny Comedy Hour here every week on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call, or pledge online at WPR.org.
Another call or two will put us over the $1,000 mark for this hour, and we'll just keep right on going and saying that's what old-time radio means to you, the listener. You call in and pick an amount. The average pledge, well, for tonight, it would be fairly high. But if you want to pledge $1 a week, that works just great. You know, a $50, $60 pledge, that'd be fine. Thank you for that call to 1-800-383-9772. And the web pledges sound good, too. We'll be happy to acknowledge those as they come through at WPR.org. I think the really exciting thing about it all is to have this kind of action, this kind of activity at 18 minutes past 9 on a Sunday night. You know, we're here mm-hmm. and you're there, and we're all making a big party out of it in support of old-time radio drama. And I mean, it's kind of a party atmosphere anyway each weekend when we bring you old-time radio. It's a sense of excitement and people coming together and good things happening, and you can be part of it tonight just that way. That really sounds great. Thank you for those calls. And I would say, well, the very next one puts us over 1,000. Great to see those numbers rolling up.
And you know, perhaps you haven't pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio before and you're looking to become a brand new member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's real easy to do. You just call the 800 number, 800-383-9772. And our volunteers will answer any questions you have about what it means to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. And when it comes to pledging, they'll ask for your name. They'll ask you how much you want to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, and the choice is, in fact, yours. We don't ask that you send in a minimum contribution. It is completely up to you. And we'll also give you options in terms of how you want to pay for that pledge. We'll send you a bill in the mail if you prefer. You can see, and then you can return a check. You can also pay by credit card or by electronic funds transfer. We make it real simple for you. We really appreciate you as a listener, and we really appreciate your donations. And as a result, we want to respect your preferences and help you along in your journey to thank us for bringing you this program each and every week on Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-383-9772.
Just $25 away from the $1,000 mark, and if you have a $25 pledge, that'll put us across that line. If you have $120, remember every pledge from $120 up gets the member card, which has something like 200 restaurants around the state that offer two entrees for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
And now the new bed and breakfast section that offers you two nights for the price of one. It doesn't take much arithmetic
to figure out
that you get your $120 back pretty fast. Look at that. We just went over. We're at $1,125. The phone's still ringing. It is great to hear that kind of stirring on a Sunday night in mid-October with slate gray skies around the state, a little bit of drizzle here and there, and some fog, too, I'll venture. A great radio listening night, and it's great to have you with us and supporting old-time radio drama. One more time with the phone number and the web address, and we're going to go to Alan Ladd in Box 13.
Oh, 1-800-383-9772, WPR.org is that website address where you can pledge safe and securely online.
And speaking of parties, tonight, Detective George Flitt wants Dan Holliday to attend a party in his place, even though there might be some bloodshed, or perhaps because there might be. We'll see how it turns out in Act 1 of Short Assignment. And thanks again for your calls and your pledges, and we'll give you the update at the halfway point in Short Assignment, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd from October 3rd, 1948.
Box 13. With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box 13.
He looked deeply into her eyes, which reflected his mood like twin lakes of azure blue. Azure blue. Why does a woman always have to have azure eyes? Why couldn't they be fire engine red? As his muscular arms tightened around her fragile... Susie.
Oh, Mr. Holliday, I'm not fragile, but I'm sure scared. Somebody's been following me.
With those legs? Why not?
I was petrified, afraid to look back even. His footsteps kept going click, cluck, click, cluck. Real sinister-like. Oh, I bet that's him now.
Mr. Click, Cluck?
Oh, Mr. Holliday, he followed me all the way from Box 13.
And now, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, this is a brand new twist. Besides a message from Box 13, Susie has brought a mysterious caller. somebody who wants in, but definitely...
Don't answer it, Mr. Holliday.
Now, Susie. You didn't see this person, huh?
No, I just felt him following me like a phantom, except his heels went click, cluck, click, cluck. Oh.
That doesn't sound so dangerous. Let's take a chance. Come in.
Oh. Silly me. I ought to be ashamed for being such a fraidy cat. Look who it is.
Well, Susie, who is it?
I don't know. Who are you, mister?
My name is George Flitt. I'm a detective. And you're Dan Holliday, the writer. It's on the door.
A detective, huh?
Why, he isn't any bigger than me.
But I have nerves of steel and the heart of a lion.
Oh, I see. And what brings you here, Mr. Flitt?
Well...
Who? Nerves of steel. Heart of a lion.
That was no fair, girlie. You took me by surprise.
Susie. Now, Mr. Flitt.
Why don't you open the envelope I put in box 13?
Here it is, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, thanks.
Open it. I'm all goosebumps.
Okay. Well, what do you know?
Why, there's nothing written on the paper.
How about that, Flitt?
See how clever I am? I put that envelope in box 13 as bait.
As bait?
Yes, I knew it would lead me to the person who put the ad in the Star Times. Adventure wanted. We'll go any place and do anything.
Very clever, Mr. Flitt.
Oh, what made your footsteps go click, cluck, click, cluck?
Oh, that. I lost the metal cleat off of one of my heels.
Oh.
Well, now that you've discovered me, Mr. Flitt, what?
Mr. Holliday, I'd say you're just the man for the job.
Job?
Something exciting, you hope, huh, Mr. Holliday?
I'd handle it myself, only I'm so tiny. Besides, I've done mostly divorce work. Just the right height for keyholes.
But about the job?
Well, I'm coming to that. Mr. Gilbert Bolton sent me $50 just to attend the party tonight.
$50? I should have been a detective.
Oh, you can be. I'll split with you if you'll go to the affair in my place as me.
We got the money. What's the catch?
Oh, there's really no catch. Only thing Mr. Bolton said was there might be a little bloodshed.
Well, this Holliday is the wackiest situation yet from good old Box 13. Yes, Holliday, he must be hard up for story ideas. Hard up for brains, too. Otherwise, why are you riding with George Flitt, detective, in his hot rod jalopy? Destination, bloodshed. And you've never met this Bolton who's having the party?
No, but he phoned and explained that the party is going to be at his nephew's place, Kenneth Bolton.
Kenneth, huh? What about the bloodshed?
Well, as I understand it, Kenneth's father, that is, Gilbert Bolton's brother, committed suicide not so long ago.
Oh.
Gilbert said the boy is suffering from neurasthenia, I think he said.
Psychoneurotic, huh?
Yes. On account of the way his father died, Gilbert's afraid the boy may take his own life tonight.
Why tonight especially?
Well, it seems that Kenneth drinks a lot at these parties and gets depressed.
And my job is...
to see that he doesn't commit suicide tonight.
I've looked forward to more pleasant evenings.
I think that's the place up ahead with all the lights on.
Yeah, that's the address you mentioned. We must be about 15 miles from town.
14 and 7/10 by my speedometer.
Well, Flitt, I may as well take off. What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll sit here in my car and listen to the radio, sort of keep my eye on things from the outside.
Good idea. See you later, then. Here we go again, Holliday. Oops, the name's George Flitt, detective. Remember? Beyond this door, who knows? But it's a beautiful house. A beautiful night. And a beautiful girl.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening. I'm looking for Mr. Gilbert Bolton.
Won't you come in? And you are...
George Flitt.
You say you're George Flitt?
That's right.
I'm Rita Martin.
How do you do?
Now let's go in and find Gilbert Bolton, Mr. Flett.
Oh, Holiday, here's a jungle cat. A vampire ride of Terry and the Pirates. That jet black hair, those heavy-lidded eyes, that glistening crimson mouth, and something else. Yes, heavy, cloying, sensuous. A perfume such as you've never known before. That's something to remember this Rita Martin by. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you are. Oh, Gilbert.
Yes, Rita.
Gilbert Bolton, this is George Flett.
George, how do you do, Mr. Flett?
Mr. Bolton?
If you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'll see you all a bit later.
So, you're George Flett, the detective?
Yes, that's right.
Your voice seemed, well, different over the phone.
Well, you know, detectives, many disguises, many voices. Got to keep them confused, you know.
Somehow I pictured you differently.
Oh?
Well, no matter. You know why you're here.
Yes, to keep my eye on your nephew, Kenneth Bolton.
More than that, to keep him from killing himself.
The way this man looks at you, Holiday, so cool, so calculating, with piercing eyes that thud against the back of your skull, he could be one of two men, a man of distinction or a man of extinction. Okay, Mr. Bolton, I'll keep your nephew alive.
That's your job.
But what makes you think the boy wants to commit suicide?
Well, since his father, my brother, took his life, Kenneth has been extremely upset.
It's only natural, Mr. Bolton.
I know, but I've heard Kenneth threaten suicide, and it's got me worried.
Anyone else heard him?
Yes, Miss Martin.
Anyone else?
What do you mean, anyone else?
I just wondered if anyone else had heard him make these threats.
I really wouldn't know. It's enough that Rita and I know about it.
How does Rita figure in this picture?
Aren't you being a bit presumptuous, Mr. Flett?
A detective likes to know these things.
Miss Martin is an old friend of the family. Oh, there's Kenneth now. I'll bring him over.
Just as Gilbert Bolton passed me, there was something familiar about him. What was it? Who was it? Come on, think, Holiday. It may be an important clue. But here they come. The man of extinction and a typical boy from Princeton or Yale or Harvard.
George Flett, my nephew, Kenneth Bolton.
Glad to meet you.
How do you do? Enjoying yourself, Mr. Flett?
Very much. How about you?
Oh, so-so. These parties get to be a bore, huh?
Kenneth hasn't been quite himself since the tragedy.
Must you always bring that up, Uncle?
But you know you've been terribly upset, Kenneth.
So I've been upset. Why talk about it?
Oh, Mr. Flett.
Yes?
Will you come with me for a moment?
Oh, why, sure.
It's so close in here that I thought a breath of air.
It suits me.
In the garden.
The garden it is. Nice. A moon, too.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely night. Ah, the scent of those flowers. Exquisite, isn't it?
Uh-huh. But not to compare with your perfume.
You noticed it.
Yes, it was so unusual.
It's called Whispering Gown.
Whispering Gown?
I like the name.
Say.
Yes?
I know where they got that name.
Oh?
From Cyrano de Bergerac. The passage where he describes Roxanne. Across my life, one whispering silken gown.
That was lovely. You're quite literary, aren't you, Mr. Flett?
Well, yes and no.
Just what do you do?
Gilbert Bolton didn't tell you.
No. No, but let's sit on this bench and you tell me all about yourself.
As you come close to her, you get another whiff of... And suddenly you've got it. That's what bothered you about Gilbert Bolton. Her perfume rubbed off on him. Rita's an old friend of the family. She's young and a close friend of Gilbert Bolton's. She's brought you out here for a reason.
I'm sure she has, Stan. She's brought you out there for a reason, and you'll find out what it is, and we'll all find out pretty soon when we go back to Box 13. starring Alan Ladd. It comes to us from October 3rd, 1948. It's Short Assignment. We have a short assignment for old-time radio drama this Sunday night. In the next 26 minutes, we hope to make the final $1,200 for this Sunday night. I'm Norman Gilliland here with Cindy Schuster, and many have been with us and made it already really an exciting night. And we should thank, by the way, the donor of our 1935 mm-hmm. Belmont Tombstone Radio that went out at the $1,200 level to a couple in Edgerton. We'd like to thank Paul Frelick for donating that radio that he so lovingly restored to its pristine 1935 condition. So each of us does what he or she can for the cause. Hope you'll be with us tonight. Another 10 calls will put us to our goal for this hour at the $120 level, and you get the member card for that. We'll hear the phones ring back in Pledge Central when you call 1-800-383-9772, and we'll also see your web pledges come up there. Oh, it just went up. That's nice. When you pledge at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772. We have a lot of people to thank so far this evening for pledging to Old Time Radio Night. We heard from Patrick in Stoughton, John in Milwaukee, Kirk in Lafarge, Judith in Madison, Tim in Eau Claire, just to name a few. And you can join them by calling 1-800-383-9772. And we've been talking all evening about the member benefits card, which can be yours at the $120 level or more. You can always pledge more and still receive that automatically just for pledging $10 a month or more to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hear, hear.
And, you know, with all these cultural attractions and B&Bs added to the list, it's really easy to use this card multiple times in even a day. You know, you use the member benefit card to check into your bed and breakfast two nights for the price of one.
Thanks for that call.
While you're visiting the town of your choice and staying at this bed and breakfast, you can go to a local restaurant, as there are 250 restaurants across the state of Wisconsin participating in this. You can travel to another town and see a play or an opera and get two for one tickets.
Just work your way through the
state. It's so easy. And, you know, it's just the size of a credit card. It fits in your wallet. Unlike a credit card, though, it's saves you money instead of, you
that's
know,
right.
encourages you to spend more than you possibly can afford.
Point well taken. So. That's right. It saves you money, this particular credit card. It is your member card. You get it for every pledge from $120 and up when you call 1-800-383-9772. And at the same time, you can support old-time radio drama these Sunday nights here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We need just 12 more calls at the $120 level. But obviously, if you want to call in at a $60 pledge or a $40 pledge, that will get us that much closer to the goal, too. And you can have the satisfaction of making sure that Old Time Radio is here for you for the next 51 Sundays when you call 1-800-383-9772 or go to the web at WPR.org. You know, just two more calls will easily put us over the $2,000 mark, and then it's on the final leg that we will wrap this thing up in the next 20 minutes or so. So if you have $100 that you can afford for the next year, or better still for you, $120 to get the member card, give us a call, 1-800-383-9772. And we will cross the finish line together, supporting old-time radio in style on a Sunday night. And we won't thank you for that call. Thanks. Very well timed. We won't ask you to call again until October of 2008. And, my friend, that is a lot of Sundays and Saturdays of enjoyment of mm-hmm. old-time radio. When you call in and make that pledge, you get it all back. Especially at that $120 level and up. When you get the member card, go out and have a good time using that card. Take it from Cindy. She knows how to do that kind of thing.
I just used it Friday night. And it was so simple. It was so simple. You know, and perhaps the last time you called was October 2006, and it's time to renew your membership. We invite you to do that at 1-800-383-9772, especially if it's been longer than just a year. We want you to renew your support to Wisconsin Public Radio, and think of it as renewing a subscription to a newspaper or magazine that you receive at your doorstep. We're here in your home, in your car, at work, every single day, 365 days a year, and now we want you to come and help us in our time of need. You know, 31% of our operating budget comes from listeners like you, and we need every bit of support to continue bringing you quality programming every single day. 1-800-383-9772.
Thank you for that call. Boy, does that sound good. At 21 minutes before 10, there's another one on a Sunday night. Nice to know that there's action going on. This is live radio. This is your phone call. You hear it when it comes through, and we need just 11 more calls during this hour, during the next 20 minutes, 11 calls at the average level of $120, and we will be there for this hour. We'll wrap it up for old-time radio drama for this Sunday night, yet to come during the 10 o'clock hour without us asking you to call in. You can have an action-packed hour with Bob Hope starring in a baseball piece, if you can believe that. It's Elmer the Great from Hallmark Playhouse from October 7th, 1948, and then a chiller from the clock with the Jekyll and Hyde gangster from October 2nd, 1947. That'll come your way at about 10:30. Next call puts us at the $2,000 mark, and it can be you. Just call 1-800-383-9772. And we're there. We got the past the $2,000 mark right in time too, because we're going in 30 seconds to back to Alan Ladd in Box 13. We'll find out why she brought him out there. 1-800. Look at that! Isn't that something? Just four more calls now, and we are there. 1-800-383-9772, or and I think many of these pledges have been coming in quietly via the web at WPR.org.
We appreciate your web pledges. Again, they're easy to accomplish, and your money is becomes more valuable to you because most of your contribution now is going towards programming and operations instead of filing paperwork, sending you mail.
Even more, yes, because 91% of it actually goes to programming, 91%. Mm-hmm. And that you try to match that with anybody else that that calls in and asks you for money, and you'll find that beats them all.
That's not always true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I've heard them as low as 14% within the last week. So we're up there 91, and we do it for you. Thanks again for your calls to 1-800-383-9772. You sound great. Nice having you aboard for part of Old Time Radio Drama this Sunday night. And remember, those web pledges is the most efficient way of all to pledge at WPR.org. And now back to Alan Ladd in Box 13. It's short assignment from October 3rd, 1948.
Well, aren't you going to sit down?
Why, sure, but just a minute. I want to buy some cigarettes.
I've got plenty of cigarettes.
I'll be right back. Something about this whole setup is as phony as a China egg. And as the crooks in your story say, better case the joint before you go inside. There's a window. Just pull the bushes back. Let's take a gander. Well, everything looks on the up and up. Kenneth with a drink on the table beside him, and there's his uncle coming up. He set another full drink right beside Kenneth. Hey, what else is he doing? You'd better get in there, Holiday, and fast. Mind if I join you, gentlemen?
Well, not at all.
You appeared quite suddenly.
Care for a drink, Mr. Flitt? Here, I haven't touched this one.
No, let me fix Mr. Flitt a fresh drink.
I think I'll just have one of these hors d'oeuvres.
Hey, watch it, my drink.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Flitt, you awkward idiot. Oh, excuse me.
Yes, Uncle. Accidents will happen. I didn't really feel like another drink. It was your idea, remember?
Well, Mr. Flett, were you able to borrow some cigarettes?
I was ambushed by
hors d'oeuvres.
Glad you're here, Rita. I have a proposal to make.
Yes?
What say we all run up to my penthouse for a while?
Oh, sounds good. What do you say, Mr. Flynn?
Fine.
I think a change of scenery would be nice.
You'll enjoy the view overlooking Green Hill Park from the penthouse, Mr. Flynn.
Oh, good. What's the address?
Tell you what, Mr. Flint. Rita, Kenneth, and myself will go ahead in my car.
Then you can follow us in yours.
Well, maybe I'd better go with Mr. Flint to keep him company.
No, I'd like you with me, Kenneth. There's something I want to discuss with you. Important.
Well, perhaps I should have the address in case I lose you.
That won't be necessary. Just follow me.
Of course, Holliday, you could be wrong, but it looks like Gilbert Bolton isn't too anxious to have you find his penthouse. And that you're a suspicious lad, Holliday. You've created so many diabolical characters for so many fiendish plots. Maybe you've become a little touched. The time's a wasting, Holliday. Get to a phone. Huh. There it is, end of the hallway. Now, if Mac's on duty in the morgue of the Star Times, we'll ask a few questions.
Star Times reference room.
Hello, Mac. This is Dan Holliday.
Oh, Danny, what can I do you for?
Say, you got anything on the Bolton suicide?
Just filed those clips away yesterday. And even if this is a clips joint, I won't charge you a penny. Clips joint. You get it, Dan?
Yeah, I get it. What about Bolton?
Poisoned himself. Left all his dough to his son, name of Kenneth.
Anything else?
Well, there was something about Bolton's brother, Gilbert. He's sort of taking over and helping the boy. Kid was pretty broke up. Hey, Dan. Hey, did you hang up?
No, but someone did. Someone was listening on another extension. Hey, this is the fastest hot rod I've ever driven. We're keeping right up with the Bolton. And he's doing 70.
Wait until you shift into high gear. Where are we going?
To a penthouse, I hope. Gilbert Bolton's.
What happened at the party?
Oh, Rita Martin tried to get me into the garden, and I got suspicious.
Trying to keep you away from your job, wasn't she?
Yeah, so I rushed back into the house, stopping to case the joint through a window.
Case the joint? Detective talk.
Yeah, then I got into trouble with Bolton.
How?
By knocking a drink from his nephew's hand.
Huh? What did the uncle do?
Got insulting. Then all of a sudden he suggested going to his penthouse.
Watch it. He's slowing down.
Yeah, I wonder what his idea is. Oh, he's just slowing down for that train.
But he only slowed down for a second. Look at him go.
I know what he's doing. He's trying to beat that train to the crossing. He's trying to lose us.
Step on the gas. Step on the gas, Mr. Holliday.
Okay.
Mr. Holliday, are we going to make it?
He made it, but I don't know about us.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. And now, back to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Next time I want such a close shave, I'll see my barber.
Yeah, me too.
Gosh, Mr. Holliday, I thought I could handle this hot rod, but the way you whipped her off the road just short of those tracks, I...
Not a scratch on her. Lucky us.
That train must be a mile long.
By the time it passes, Bolton can be in Alaska.
What's the address of his penthouse?
You're asking me. All I know is it overlooks Green Hill Park. Our next stop. Well, George, Green Hill Park.
I bet all these buildings have penthouses.
We'll try them all until we hit the right one. I'll go around this side of the park.
Okay, and I'll try the buildings around the other side.
Bolton's got to be in one.
Do you have a Mr. Bolton in your penthouse?
No one here by that name.
A Bolton in the penthouse? No, but we have a Botsford in the basement.
Why, yes, Mr. Gilbert Bolton came in a short time ago.
Hello?
No, with a lady and gentleman. Want to go up?
Now, please. Did Mr. Bolton say anything about expecting more guests?
No, sir.
Do me a favor. If a little fellow with a squeaky voice shows up asking for Bolton, tell him I'm here, will you? Dan Holliday.
Yes, sir.
Oh, here you are.
Thank you, sir. Your floor, sir. That's the penthouse door over there.
Right. I've got a sneaking hunch I won't be welcome.
Flip, how did you get up here?
You didn't expect me?
Yes, of course, but you've earned your money. You can go home now.
I'm sorry, Miss Martin, but Mr. Bolton hired me. It's up to him to fire me.
But he's not here. He and Kenneth both went out.
May I come in and wait?
No. Goodbye.
Now what? Now what does the intrepid hero of my stories do? He looks for another door. Like that one. He tries it. It's open. Leads into a hallway. And there's yet another door. The servant's entrance to Bolton's penthouse. And 10 to 1, it's locked, bolted, and barred. Maybe even nailed shut. You're some gambler, Holliday. Offer 10 to 1 and lose. The door's open. Well, here we go again. Shh. Quiet, Holliday. Ah, there's a door leading to the terrace and voices.
Really an excellent view, Kenneth. Yes,
much. Now get your ear up, Holliday. But don't let them see you.
Don't you think it's a little chilly out here, Uncle? Let's go inside.
Chilly, Kenneth? I'm really very comfortable.
Here's the view I was telling you about, Kenneth. Better lean over the rail a bit to see around that turret.
Well, don't push against me, Uncle. That's a 10-story drop.
Now, look over there, Kenneth.
Uncle Gil! Kenneth, let's get away from that rail. Oh, Flitz, don't have to throw me back. Better than having your uncle throw you forward.
What's the meaning of this outrage,
Flitz? How did you get in here anyway?
I'm going to call the police.
Fine, and save me the trouble. Look, Kenneth, I was hired to keep you from committing suicide.
Suicide? Who, me?
Yeah, but instead I'm keeping you from being murdered. Feel in your coat pocket.
Ignore him, Kenneth. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
A bottle? It's marked poison.
Yeah, I saw your uncle plant it in your pocket through the garden window. He wanted to make it look like you poisoned that drink I knocked from your hand.
Stop right there, Holliday. This isn't a cap pistol. You too, Kenneth. Don't move.
Well, you must be crazy, Uncle Gil.
And you knew I was Dan Holliday all along, huh?
Of course. I've seen your picture in the book review pages.
And I caught your telephone conversation with the Star Times. On the extension.
You get around.
I can't believe this. You, my uncle.
What's the play now, Bolton?
Well, first I walk over to Kenneth and knock him out with his gun. Don't move, Holliday. I've still got you covered.
Oh? And now that you've knocked out your nephew, what's your next move?
Mr. Holliday, before I heave him over the rail to make it look like suicide, I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, fine.
Then I'll wipe my fingerprints off this gun and press my nephew's hand around the butt.
His fingerprints on the gun will prove he shot me, huh? But what about a motive?
Very simple. You tried to stop him from jumping off the terrace.
And you're supposed to invent plots, Mr. Holliday.
But they'll trace the gun to you, Bolton.
Oh, no. It's Kenneth's gun. I took it from his room.
And you wanted a detective on hand to throw off suspicion?
Yes, Mr. Holliday. Who'd suspect Gilbert of murder when he'd hired a detective to protect Kenneth?
But why? Why do you want to kill your nephew?
Let's say I borrowed quite a large sum I can't make good.
Oh. Embezzlement, huh? And you need Kenneth's inheritance to keep out of jail. Wouldn't he lend you the money?
Not the amount we need.
We?
Obviously.
So, we're taking it all. Clever, eh, Holliday?
You're killing me.
You're so right. Get rid of whoever it is, Rita.
If that doesn't help, Holiday, forget about writing the great American novel. No room in a coffin for typing.
I tell you, you can't.
Listen here, I'm trying to go in and see. I know.
I tell you, can't come in.
I tell you, I'm trying to get in. I know Dan Holliday's in here and nobody's.
Never mind, Rita.
I couldn't stop
him. I've got plenty of bullets.
Welcome to the party, George.
Hello, Mr. Holliday. A gun. Let me out of here.
Stop! Stop or I'll shoot!
Shoot, watch out!
Thanks for the distraction. Flip!
Now, Mr. Gilbert Bolton, you know how your nephew feels. Well, I know how it feels to be on the right end of this Smith & Wesson.
You knocked him out. What are you going to do?
Do? Well, since the party's getting dull, let's invite a few more boys. Say, from headquarters.
This is Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Holliday. Hello, Susie.
Ah, Mr. George Flitt, detective.
How's the arm, Mr. Flitt?
Oh, it's healing up fine. One of the bullets just grazed me. You know, I bled quite a lot.
Say, wasn't that awful, them trying to kill that boy? And he really wasn't psycho whatchamacallit at all.
Bolton cooked that up to support the suicide story.
Oh. What's going to happen to them, Mr. Holliday?
Well, they've got Bolton for embezzlement and attempted murder. They're holding Rita as his accomplice.
And she was such a beautiful girl and so sweet, too.
Yes, George, you can say that again.
How's the rod hot these days, Mr. Flitt?
Hot rod, Susie.
Hot rod. Rod hot. Red hot. Oh, how is it anyway?
Red hot. Oh, it's fine. And, Mr. Holliday, even if I did run away from that gun, I really do have the heart of a lion.
But of course, George.
Only thing is, it's a scaredy-cat lion.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is directed by Ted Hediger. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager, with an original story by Larry Kraft. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. This is a Mayfair production.
Well, now you know what that was all about, why she got him out there, and how Alan Ladd, a.k.a. Dan Holliday, coped with that short assignment, which came from October 3rd, 1948. And a short assignment for you and for Cindy Schuster and for me and for Old Time Radio tonight. Very, very well accomplished. Thanks to you if you called or webbed in tonight.
And we want to thank David and Kimberly. He called in a pledge, and he said he really likes the Old Time Radio program and hopes it goes on for years and years to come. And his contribution will help to ensure that it does.
Thanks.
He says that Old Time Radio, by the way, is better than TV for entertainment. And wouldn't you agree? I mean, the imagery you can imagine in your mind.
Theater of the mind.
It's got to be better than what any television director could come up with, right? Well, Deborah in Baronet also called in. Ron in Waukesha. Richard and Juliet in Reedsburg. And James and Elgin all called to pledge their support within this past hour to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, to recap, too, our goal for the first hour was $3,000, and look at that. Grand total?
$3,505.
That was for this hour, right?
And the last hour we shattered
it. Way up there, closer to $6,000, so you all did great work for old-time radio out there.
And we should also welcome the 20 new members to Wisconsin Great. Public Radio who called in tonight Welcome. As well. So we hope that you find that your contribution was well worth it, and we look forward to having you as a member in the coming year.
Have to say that this program has been on the air because people wanted it here, and we've been doing this since September 3rd, 1989. So we're sort of old-time radio, just in our own right here
radio.
After a while here. And it's on, as I say, because people have called in over the years to, in effect, cast a vote, regardless of the size of their pledge. They were supporting old-time radio drama by making their voices heard just that one time a year when they make the call. Not too late for you to make the call, just like that. See, it still mm-hmm. works. It's radio magic at a minute before 10 on a Sunday night. When you call 1-800-383-9772. And you can still go to the web, too, 24/7 there at WPR.org. And if you're interested in that member card for $120 pledge and up, you can get it.
That's right. And it looks like Patty in Lodi also pledged online. She is a self-declared WPR junkie and says there should be support groups for people like her. Well, you know, that's okay. I think you found a nice support group in the members of Wisconsin Public Radio who are just like you. This is her first time joining. She's one of the 20 new members that joined Wisconsin Public Radio this evening. We also heard from Daryl and Ruth in Waupun, Dana in Waukesha, Harold in Brownsville. All enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio, as does Sharon in Eau Claire. Thanks so much for your pledges of support by telephone and online.
Great to hear from all of you, and we'll look forward to having you with us next week, too, and for many weeks to come, thanks to those calls and web pledges supporting old-time radio drama. Next stop, it's Bob Hope in the Ring Lardner vehicle, Elmer the Great from Hallmark Playhouse, as old-time radio drama continues, thanks to you, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.